again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Say it so often, but say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate your attendance very, very much. And there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, I ask sometimes ask brethren to look around. If you see company with us that doesn't have a bulletin, maybe share. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to get up and go get a bulletin if you so desire. Just don't keep going. Walk around. Come back. But as Rick mentioned in his introduction to the scripture reading, there's some things to think about in the text. Not only this text, but the others we're going to look at. But none. I have a green light.
It's green.
Okay.
Jeff Currier, I have one person that this talks to.
The best person.
So everybody else, I guess you don't need to listen anymore. Yeah, I've got to hear one, amen. All right, I need to hurry. The lesson is titled, put in your notes, the lesson is titled, Sins Are Gone. Sins Are Gone. So I put in the introduction, shall we all stand in need of God's forgiveness? Because we sin. We get errors. We do things that are wrong. And so we need God's forgiveness. Romans 3 verse 10 says, there's none righteous. Nope. Not one. And in verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Wow, so none of us can say to God, God, I know you're pleased with everything that I've said and done. You just can't do that. So knowing that, and even we typically end our prayers, and Dennis did that even this morning, after he thanked God and praised God and made requests to God, and then, God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us. So when we think about the Bible message, God, John 3:16, God sent his Son into the world. Only begotten Son, you know, and it's for our salvation. When Jesus is introduced in Scripture, the angel appears in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He, meaning Mary, will bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we need salvation from our sins. Now, when we come to Jesus with our sins, or come to God with our sins, the question we're answering this morning is, what does he do with them? What happens to our sins when we come to God? So I've answered this in the Bible. There's at least 10 illustrations that the Bible gives for what God does with our sins when we bring them. Number one and number two are in the same verse in the text that was read to us. In Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed, as Rick said, boy, this is an occasion for joy. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. By definition, it's forgiven, it means it's sent away. If it's forgiven, it means the punishment has been removed for our sinful actions. It means that we've been released from the penalty. We're forgiven. Forgiven. In Psalm 103, verse 2, you don't have this one in your notes. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Another occasion for rejoicing. And don't forget his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Yeah. Our lawlessness. Our transgressions. Forgives all. In Luke 7, verse 47. Jesus is at Simon's house and there's a woman that comes to him and washes his feet, and she says to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. In verse 48, he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Gone. All her sins are great. They're many. They're forgiven. Sometimes someone may say to me, Brian, I look at it three ways. They'll say, committed them for too long a time, and they're too horrible. I don't think God can forgive me. The answer is yes, He can. Forgives all sin. Hey, takes away the penalty. Forgiven. God, what did you do with my sins? Trying to forgive them. Forgiven them. Number two, it's in the same text. Psalm 32, verse 1. So after he says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, so now we have another word. God, what did you do with my sins? Well, I've covered them. Meaning, they're buried. they're complete overlay. And one dictionary definition for covered has, he's blindfolded and cannot see. Covered. In Psalm 85, verse 2, this one's not your notes either. Psalm 85, verse 2 says, thou hast, and both words are used again, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of your people. Covered all their sins. Forgiven and covered. God, what'd you do with my sins? Sent them away. And I buried them. Number three is in Psalm 25, verse 11. Psalmist says, for thy name's sake, right? God on your behalf, says, O Lord, the psalmist says, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. But I'm going to bring them to God. If it's pardoned, it means you're released again from the penalty, similar to forgiveness. It means the excuse the defender without exacting a penalty. It means the guilty doesn't have to pay the debt that's owed. You're pardoned. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18, again, you don't have this one in your notes. But Micah 7, verse 18, he asked the question, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity? Who passes by the transgression? You pardon. For example, we're sitting here, and I'm sitting in the middle, and I need to get up and go out. And while I'm trying to get out, I step on your toes. And first thing I do, I turn around and say, pardon me. You know what I mean by pardon? In other words, I don't want you to step on my toes just because I stepped on yours. Pardon me. Don't exact revenge or retaliate back to me because of what I've just done to you. So I ask for pardon. I do that because if you stepped on my toes, you'd probably do it harder than I just did on yours. I say, pardon me. Pardon. So I say to God, God, I've sinned. Pardon me. Or don't exact revenge. Don't retaliate. Don't treat me the way I've just treated you. Pardon me. And the psalmist has said, O Lord, you pardon my iniquity now. And that's what I want. Pardon me. Number four, in Psalm 103, verse 12, says, as far as the east is from the west, has he removed my transgression from me. If something is removed, it means it's gone. If I have something up here and I say, brother, would you remove that? Then you take it away. It's not here anymore. You've removed it. So he's asked for, as far as the east is from the west, O God, remove my transgression. In other words, it's gone. So the psalmist of the Psalm of David gives us a visual of how far God removes our sin. Says, as far as the east is from the west. Now, why didn't he say as far as the north is from the south? He said, as far as the east is from the west. You see, if you and I were walking north, and we get all the way to the North Pole, and we're there, you take one more step in any direction, you're going south. You go south. You get to the South Pole, and you take one more step in any direction, you're going north. See, north and south meet at the poles. is 12,403 miles from the north to the south pole, between the poles. So if God had said, I'm going to remove your sin as far as the north is from the south, we said, well, you've only removed it 12,403 miles. But he says, as far as the east is from the west, now you walk east. But now the equator, start walking east. Walk and walk. You walk all the way around. You may meet somebody walking west, but just because you've met them and you take one more step, you're still walking east and they're walking west. You see, east never meets west. So God has given us a visual. God, what'd you do with my sins? I've removed them as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. They're gone. In other words, the distance can't be measured. They're just gone. Removed. Number five, Job 14, verse 17. Job said, my transgression is sealed up in a bag. And you cover my iniquity. So there's a, God, what did you do with my sin? Well, I put them in a bag. Sealed it and covered it. Very good. That bag that he put it in is sealed. That's better than any new one. The bag that God puts it in, it's sealed and buried. Ah. Number six, in Isaiah 38, verse 17. You've lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. Oh, thank you. You've lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins. Now it's behind your back. Behind your back. You did that. Out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. So I asked God, God, what did you do with my sins? God says, I don't see any sins. He's put them behind his back. Now, I may still see my sins, but God doesn't. When my grandchildren were small, sometimes they might have something, say a book, and I'll have it and I'll put it behind my back. I'll say, where's your book? Now, they eagerly say, there it is, Papa, there it is, behind you. And I turn. I don't see it. Behind you, Papa. Oh, this way. I don't see it. That's what God does with our sins. They're behind his back. No matter which way he turns, he doesn't see them. Put them behind his back. Now, like they are grandkids, they can see it. Well, we can still see our sins. Oh, I distinctly see my sins still. God says, I don't. I don't see them anymore. They're gone. They're gone. In the same verse, or no, in Isaiah 43, verse 25, number 7. They said, I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake. God, what did you do with my sins? I blotted them out away. They're erased. But not the way we think of erasure and there's still a mark there. No. They're gone without a trace. They're blotted out. It means God no longer keeps a record of remembrance of our transgression. It's not there anymore. In Psalm 51, verse 9, David cried out because of his transgression. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out my transgressions. Could you take my transgression away? Yeah. In Acts 3, verse 19, Peter preaches to his audience. And he challenges them and he said, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. God, what did you do with my sins when I came to you? I blotted them out. They're gone. They're gone. And then in addition to it, the next phrase of the same verse, Isaiah 43, verse 25. So God says, I'm he that blots out thy transgression, and I'll not remember thy sins. It's not that God has a bad memory. Rather, when God forgives, he chooses to forget. And God can do that. So you bring your already forgiven sin up to God, And sometimes we do that. We keep praying for forgiveness for the same sin that we did. But God would say to you, or He'd say to me, Brian, I distinctly remember forgetting that sin. God chooses to forget. Now, I don't. I still remember what I did, but I only have to pray forgiveness one time. Brother, why would you, when you do something wrong, keep praying for forgiveness day after day or week after week or year after year for the same sin? Why are you bringing it up to God's memory and He would shout down, I remember, I forgot that. I still remember. So now we need to change our prayer. Instead of keep saying, forgive me, forgive me. Now our prayer should be, God, thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for not remembering it. Now help me to put it in the right place. See? So God forgets. I don't. My brethren will remind us of what we've done. But not God. No. I'll not remember your sins anymore. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, God said. And their sins and their iniquities, I'll remember no more. No. God says, I distinctly remember I forgot that sin. Number 9. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Micah says, who is a God like you? Again, who pardons iniquity? He said, you delight in mercy. You have compassion on us and will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. God, what are you going to do with my sins? I'm going to cast them into the depths of the sea. It's been said 2/3 of the earth is covered by water. And some of the deepest places on see, God, when in this verse, God doesn't just put our sins out to sea where they can be washed back to shore. God doesn't just put our sins a little way from the shore where low tide exposes them again. No, He says, I'm going to put your sins or cast your sins into the depths of the sea. The deepest place in the ocean is in the Southwest Pacific. On the east side of the Mariana Islands. There's a trench there that's called the Mariana Trench and also called the Challenger Deep. That trench is 1,500 miles long and 45 miles wide. It's not just a post hole. It's a trench, 1,500 miles. God says, and then also, by the way, the deepest part of that Mariana Trench is 6.8 miles, or almost 35,000 feet deep. The Mariana Trench is deeper than Mount Everest is tall. Mount Everest is 29,000 feet. The Mariana Trench is a full mile, 5,000 feet, really 6,000 feet deeper than Mount Everest is tall. And God says, you know what, Brian? You bring your sins to me, I'm going to cast them into the depths of the sea. That is so deep. They're not going to bother. The water pressure at that depth destroys them. Not there. So God, what'd you do with my sin? Cast them into the depths of the sea. Then the last one. Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. When Jesus observes the Passover feast and institutes His own supper, comes to the cup after doing the bread. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If something's remitted, similar to forgiveness, it's dismissed. It's the passing by of the debt. We're released from the debt that we owe. Jesus said, I'm going to shed my blood so that your sins can be remitted, forgiven. the same word that Peter used when the people wanted to know what they should do with their sins. In Acts chapter 2, 50 days after the Passover, 40 days after the Passover, Jesus ascended back to the Father. He told them right before He ascended back to the Father, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And I want repentance and remission of sins preached in My name beginning at Jerusalem. 10 days later, Feast of the Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. There's devout Jews from every nation, and Peter with the 11 stand up and they preach a message to the audience that they've crucified the Christ. They died. In verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, it says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He said, when they heard that, they cried out. In other words, stop the sermon. They cried out, Peter, stop the sermon. We're guilty as charged. What shall we do? Peter, along with the rest of the apostles, said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, that's us, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so, with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who were saved were those who received the word gladly and repented and were baptized for the remission, the putting away of their sins. So that's what our invitation is for you. For you to have your sins forgiven, covered, pardoned, removed, sealed, put out of God's sight, blotted out, forgotten, and sunk so deep that they won't surface again in God's sight. How can I refuse my sin? So that's why Jesus said, come unto me. In Matthew chapter 11, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. You're subject to that invitation, the same one we used in the last point. When Peter preaches, they say, what shall we do? We're guilty as charged. I'm bringing my sins to you. And he says, the way to do it is to repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. So let's stand together. We'll sing a song and dance the selected chorus.